don't know if you've ever read the Bible, and for yourselves, I'd give you the opportunity this afternoon to save a copy of the entire New Testament freely offered to you without any obligation to you, yourself, yours to take and do it as you will, but it is the Word of God, and who knows, perhaps maybe as you were to peruse it, maybe you would get one or two surprises. You know, for instance, you would maybe discover that it's not about some instituted religion, as some people would perhaps think. It's rather, it's more about a person. In fact, the Bible in its entirety, from beginning to end, really is about a person. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and of course proved, demonstrated to be so by the power of his resurrection from the dead. He's the golden thread, you might say, that weaves its way through the entirety of the Bible. And the New Testament, of course, is the fulfillment of all that he came to do, to accomplish the victory that God is able to afford to you even this afternoon. Victory in Jesus. That really sums up the New Testament of the Bible. And that victory, of course, through faith in Jesus Christ, not through religious activity, not through anything that you or I can do, but through what Jesus has already done, accomplished. Through faith in him, that victory can be yours. God gives us the victory. It's a gift, you see. It's simply and only a gift. Just as is the New Testament offered to you this afternoon. You would like one, then feel free to come, please, and ask for one. Gladly place it into your hands. The Bible, of course, you would need the Old Testament for this, but way back, almost close to the beginning, you can read these words, the God of compassion and mercy. What is God and what is he like? God is love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, gave him up, that is, to the death of the cross for us on our behalf as a substitute for us. The God of compassion and mercy, he says, I am slow to anger. He's very, very unlike me. Sometimes I have to acknowledge I am far too quick to anger. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generation. When I read these words, I think to myself, for the coming generations, 3 or 4 generations down the line, it does not bode well for them in dear old England. When I see the unbelief, when I see the rejection, when I see the apostasy from God, friends, it does not bode well for your children and your grandchildren. And I ask myself betimes, I say, what have we done? As I look at our young people today, I look at the foolishness, I look at the uncleanness, I look at the moral depravity, I look at the, friends, the moral and even intellectual bankruptcy. Friends, what have we done to our children? And what's to become of them in the third and fourth generation? I will not, Jesus, he says here, I do not excuse the guilty. Friends, there's only one way out of the guilt that lies upon us as a nation. You yourself as an individual, and that is the gospel, the good news that I have to declare to you this afternoon. You see, the Bible, New Testament that I offer to you here this afternoon would encourage you to consider the merits, the work, that is, of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rather, that is, than your own. The merit, the work of Jesus Christ, and of course the righteousness that's revealed in Him. He is, you see, He is the righteousness of God. Without Jesus Christ, we are ungodly, unrighteous to a man, to a woman. You see, friends, a righteousness outside of yourself. Because here's the problem. We look into ourselves, into our own hearts, and all we see is it's nothing but wall-to-wall sin. You know? The whole bit, friends. God, He says, there's none good. He says, not even one. Jesus, He says, only God is good. Now, you might see this afternoon, listen, hey, I'm okay. I'm a good person. Oh, God says, on the contrary, He says, no. He says, you're not. He says, there is not even one who is good. I spoke to a young lady up in the Potteries yesterday, and she assured me that she was without sin. I asked her, I said, what, you've never told a lie? She said, no, never. I said, you've never lusted? She said, no, never. I said, you've never stolen anything, big or small? She says, no, I've never done any of these things. Well, that's what you call self-deception, friends. No, we've all sinned. God says so. And we've come short of His glory. There's none of us righteous, not even one. None good, not a single one. Only God is good. He's a God of compassion. He's a God of mercy, slow to anger. He's filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. And in His compassion and mercy, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, the revelation of His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish in their sin and their guilt, that is, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. He doesn't have to. Friends, we are already condemned as a result of our unbelief. For this is the condemnation, says God, that you have not believed in the name of His only Son. So you see, friends, already condemned because of our unbelief and because of the fruits of our unbelief. But the Bible, you see, the New Testament, would encourage you to consider not your own works, because our works are evil, you see. You will not come to the light, says God. Why? Because your deeds are evil. We've got this love affair, this passionate love affair going with sin. And that relationship, God says, must needs be broken off. It must needs be forsaken, and you enter into a relationship of love, unfailing love, with the God who sent His Son into the world that you might be reconciled to God through His work, but not yours. Because yours and mine, our righteousness, as God says, that's the best of our deeds, not the worst. The best of our deeds, God says, they're like filthy rags in His sight, untouchable as far as God is concerned. So it's not your work, religious or otherwise, that you must consider, that you must think about, but I encourage you to think about the merits, the work of Jesus Christ, what He has done, what He has accomplished for sinful men and women such as you and I. That is His death and His resurrection, His righteousness, His perfect righteousness, the sinless Son of God. That's what qualified Him to be our sin bearer, to go to the death, to the death of the cross, that through Him that we might be forgiven, and that our guilt might be removed. You see, this is what God requires of you. Not to work, you see, not religious work. All of your world religions, every single one of them, friends, there's not an ounce of salvation in any one of them at all. Outside of the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, there's not a hint worth of salvation. only in the gospel, you see, only in the merits and in the righteousness of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And what God requires of you is not to work, because that's what religion does. Religious people always be telling you, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do the other. No, says God, you will never, never be made right with me, reconciled to me by your doing, by your working religiously or otherwise. You will never, never, never be right with God by your own doing. Relying on what God himself, you see, the virtues of the life and the death of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, that's the only basis on which anyone shall ever be made right with God. By their relying, that's what the word believe means. When the Bible calls for faith, when the Bible calls for belief, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Rely, trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust, rely in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. Because if you're relying in yourself, any perceived goodness within yourself, if you're relying upon your good deeds, your respectability, your religiosity, or anything else that you're relying on, apart from the life and death of God's Son, Jesus Christ, then I tell you, you're lost. You're lost, and you'll be lost forever. Unless there's a change of direction. Unless there's a change of reliance. So I ask you, what are you relying upon? For the future, for the present, for the future. And I don't mean just this world. I mean the world to come. What are you relying upon? You think maybe that you'll go to heaven when you die? Believe me, friends, I've spoken to people who have professed themselves to be atheists. And then the next breath, in answer to a question, they tell me that they hope. Oh yes, they hope. They're not quite sure, but they hope to get to heaven. But friends, I ask, on what basis? On what basis should God allow you into heaven? No one will ever get there. No one will ever be received, welcomed into God's heaven without a reliance, you see, upon the life and death and the righteousness of God's Son, Jesus Christ. You see, that's the way that God has planned it. That's the way that God, who is sovereign over us and who has the right, you see, to do with his creatures, to do with his universe as he so pleases. And dear friends, this is his plan of salvation. This is how he declares it in the New Testament, that any single person will only ever be saved right with God, have access to heaven, a welcome into heaven, friends, only by relying upon, trusting in Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. In spite of your sinfulness, you see, in spite of your record, you see, we've all of us, yourself and myself included, a bad heart and a bad record. That bad heart needs to be changed. It needs to be changed by the power of the gospel, the dynamite of God, you see. Dynamite, you see, sometimes can be very destructive, but sometimes it can be used for good purposes. It can be used to put out fires, I'm told, sometimes. It can be used to open up mines which contain diamonds or gold, treasures, you know. But friends, the dynamite of God, the gospel, you see, is the power of God, the dynamite of God, to open up the treasures of heaven to men and women, the kingdom of God. And only the gospel, friends, only the power of God. And it comes to those who believe, those who rely upon, those who trust in the life and death and righteousness of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And that in spite of the sinfulness, whatever, however long your record might be. depends, of course, on how long you've lived on God's planet, how long you've been drinking His water, breathing His air, you know, that you accept all the good things that God, you know, affords you, but yet you neglect Him in any relationship with Him. You see, that's sin. That's the epitome of sin, the essence of sin, you see. Godlessness. Godlessness. That's the essence of sin. And you see, however long, you see, right from your birth, because you see, you were born in sin. You were conceived in sin, God says. So you've been godless, you see, from the beginning. Well, no matter how long that's been, whether it be 15 or 20 or 40 or 70 or 80 years, it matters not, friend. That whole catalogue, in spite of your sinfulness, no matter how dirty, how dark and dangerous, however long you've been at it, your sinful record, in spite of your sinfulness, you see, you can be reconciled to God because of His unfailing love, you see, because of His compassion, because of His mercy, His giving to you, you see, offering to you the victory through the life, death, and righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Relying, the person, you see, who relies on Jesus, you see, the person whose heart has been changed, you see, by the power, the dynamite of God, you see. It's God taking the heart of stone out of you, you know? The heart that rejects, the heart that hates, the heart that refuses to forgive, the heart, you see, that is hatred against God, you see? God takes the heart of stone out of you, and He gives you a heart of flesh, you see? Circumcision of the heart, it's called in the Bible, you see? God makes a man or woman a new creature in Jesus Christ, and He gives to them all kinds of wonderful gifts. He gives them the gift, you see, of repentance. He gives them the gift, you see, the ability to trust, you see, to rely upon His Son, Jesus Christ, His life, His death, and His righteousness. And in spite of their sinful record, you see, in spite of all their sinfulness, no matter how big and how bad it be, God, you see, He promises to forgive everybody who relies upon the merits, you see, of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. A free man, free woman, forgiven, the slate clean, and the way open to heaven. God, because God is gracious, you see, because God is merciful, because God is loving, you see, He's a righteous God, and He will by no means clear anyone who remains with his guilt. This is what we read here, you see. But I do not excuse the guilty. God will not excuse the guilty. You carry on, you see, in your own vein, relying upon yourself, relying upon the world, or whatever it is else that men and women rely upon in these days. Friends, it's not going to uphold you in the day of judgment, because you'll stand before God and you'll be found guilty to a man, to a woman, unless Jesus has taken your guilt away, unless He has washed you of your sin, unless He has taken that guilt of yours, you see, upon Himself. If He doesn't pay the bill, you see, if he doesn't take the tab, you see, and pay what's due, you see, then you'll have to pay every last farthing yourself, you see, and you'll never get out of jail, the eternal jail, until you've paid the last farthing, says Jesus. Meaning, of course, that you cannot pay. You can never pay the debt that you owe to God, you see. God is compassionate, merciful, slow to anger, filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. And it's that God, you see, it's that love that you've offended. It's that love that you've rejected. It's that love that you've neglected. It's that love, friends. You have a debt of love that you owe to God that you could never, never repay. And unless Jesus, unless the Son of God takes your guilt upon himself, you'll never be free, you see? You'll be found guilty in that day when God judges all mankind. Every single one of us will be judged. And friends, on the basis of what you have done, or what you have not done with God's Son, Jesus Christ, you will be judged accordingly. Because friends, this is the root matter, you see. This is the capital offense, you see. No matter what kind of a sinner you be, you can be forgiven. There's forgiveness with God, you see, by reliance upon trusting in God's Son, Jesus Christ. But if you reject, you see, the author of forgiveness, if you reject, you see, the author of salvation, if you reject, you see, the victory that God offers to you, you see, God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, the victory over sin and death. It can be yours this afternoon, yours for the taking, but if you reject it and go on rejecting it, well, there's no hope for you. There's no hope for you in this world, but there'll be no hope for you in the world to come. So I urge you, I implore you, this is what's required of you, simply and only to rely upon, to trust in the life and in the death and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God will by no means clear the guilty. It would be foolish, it would be an utter nonsense for any one of us to say to God, you know, please be patient with me and I'll repay all the damage that I've done with my sin, eh? As if you could, eh? Please, think about that for a moment. How could you possibly? I don't know what damage you've done with your sin. Maybe you've damaged yourself in body. Maybe you've damaged your mind. Some people have today, with drugs and alcohol and such like. Some people have damaged their children and their grandchildren. They've fed them with unbelief, with apostasy. The guilt is huge, it's phenomenal, friends, that lies upon this generation of ours. Friends, if you think for a moment, you know, that you can say to God, please be patient with me, and I'll repay all the damage that I've done. Friends, you could not even repay the damage you've done to yourself, never mind other people. So you see, friends, that's a piece of nonsense. That would be utter foolishness. There's only one person who can repay the damage, and that's the Son of God, who came, who lived and loved and died because of the great mercy, because of the great love, the unfailing love, because of the compassion, because of the mercy of God, you see, in sending His Son Jesus into the world that through Him that your debt might be repaid, that you might be restored, reconciled to God. And that you might know His loving kindness, that you might know His forgiveness, and that you might know the assurance one day of a home in heaven. So don't be saying anything like that, will you? The Bible says we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. Not my words, it's the Bible, and unclean things, spiritually and morally unclean. Every man, woman and child born into the world. And only one person who can clean you. Only one person who can wash you and make you clean. Only one commodity that can make you clean. And that's the shed blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. I mean, go. I go where you will throughout the entirety of Staffordshire and ask the market stall holders, ask the stores and the shops, give me something that will wash away my sin. Give me something that will remove the stain on my soul. And of course, well, they'll just laugh you out the place. They'll tell you there's no such a thing, but yes, there is. And it's the blood of God's Son, you see, shed on the cross to wash and make us clean. So I ask you, have you been to Jesus? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? If you have not relied upon, trusted in the life and death and righteousness of Jesus Christ, then the answer is no. The answer is no, you're as an unclean thing, and your righteousness is as filthy rags, says God. You must needs go to Jesus. You must needs be washed. You must needs be made clean. The stain must be removed of your sin, and it's only, oh, the deep cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ that can accomplish such. But I tell you, still shed 2,000 years ago, but still, even this very day, still wields that great power, able to wash and make clean the dirtiest of sinners, the vilest. Oh, I tell you, friends, there's no sin deeper than the grace of God in Jesus Christ. But oh, friends, let Jesus be your righteousness. For yours is no good. Mine is no good. Only His. Only the righteousness of Jesus. Some people, they tell me, I'm okay, I don't need this. I don't need the gospel, I don't need a savior, I don't need God in my life, they say. Oh yes, you do. Desperately so. I implore you, let Jesus be your righteousness, because yours and mine is no good.
I've met Jesus.
Huh? Don't think so, sir. I don't think so. So you see, friends, Jesus, He needs to be your righteousness. He is the righteousness of God. Some people, you know, they say to me that, you know, they don't need God, they don't need Jesus. But I tell you, you do, because righteousness alone is to be found in Him. Yours and mine's no good. Let Jesus be your holiness, your redemption. He's done everything necessary. You know, you go by, you say you're okay. You refuse the literature that we offer to you, the Bibles that we offer to you. You say, I'm okay, but the trouble is you're not okay. You're lost, you're in darkness. You know, and you're heading towards the precipice. Tell you these things, not because we hate you, and not because we want to disturb your peace. You haven't got peace. There is no peace, says God, my God, for the wicked. Friends, it's a false peace, you know. Whatever it is you're relying upon, trusting it, you know. Your good job, you know, your gold-plated pension that maybe you'll never see the gold-plated pension. God takes you out of the world tonight. Your peace is gone. Would to God I could shatter your false peace and bring you to a true and a lasting, a right peace. Peace with God through the life and death and righteousness of the Son of God. Relying upon such, friends, you have peace with God, and you have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Let Jesus Christ, by faith, by the grace of God through faith, let Jesus Christ be your righteousness, your holiness, and your redemption, because He's paid it. He's done it all. There's nothing left to be done. He cried with His dying breath from the cross. It is finished. There's nothing for you to do. Your work, your slavery, trying to be good, you know, and failing miserably, being demoralized and in the misery of your sin. You know, some of you tell me, well, does it matter what I do as long as it makes me happy? Yes, it does, friends, because what you do does not make you happy. That's why you all go about all the day long so miserable. That's why there's so many miserable faces in Stafford today. You know, you say, I just want to be happy. Well, why don't you go and be happy? Why can't you be? What hinders you? What keeps you back? Your sin, that's what keeps you back. She's as miserable as sin. He's as miserable as sin, you see. Because it's sin that makes you misery. That's the cause, friends. Misery is the effect, and sin is the cause. Get rid of the cause, and you get rid of the effect. But there's only one way to get rid of the cause, and that's the way of renouncing your sin, renouncing your self-efforts, renouncing what you do, and relying upon, leaning upon, trusting in the life and the death and the righteousness of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Because He is complete redemption, you see. When you're trusting in Jesus, you want for nothing, you see. You have everything. But if you do not have Jesus, you might have all the money in the world. Eh? You might have the best home in Staffordshire. You might have it all. You gain the whole world. So what does it profit you if you lose your soul? If God was requiring your soul tonight and take you out of this world and damn you to hell forever, repent and believe the gospel, friends. Well, you still have the breath of life into you. This is according, you see, to God's provision. God's provision, you see. The Old Testament, the prophet Moses, he said, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. Well, God Himself, you see, there are many religions, you see, and there's no blood sacrifice. None at all, you see. And so these people, you see, whoever they be, your cults and your sects, JWism and Islam and many others, Buddhism and Confucianism, no blood sacrifice. So therefore all these millions and millions of poor blinded souls are still in their sin. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. But you see, God Himself has made provision. You see, God has provided the blood sacrifice. The Lamb of God, Jesus, that is His term, the Lamb of God in the New Testament. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And who would take your sin away today if you would but just rely upon Him. If you would but just trust in Him and what He has done, not what you do. Yeah. His life, His death, His righteousness, friend. And then you see, you would be the object of God's redeeming love. Instead of being an object of God's displeasure. Instead of being an object of God's wrath. That's an old-fashioned word, but it means simply the holy, the divine displeasure of God. You would be, you see, through reliance upon Jesus, you would be an object of God's redeeming love. Loved by God, His grace to know. Oh, what joy it brings, I tell you, and what peace it brings to the human heart. Trusting, relying, you see, renouncing self, the world, the devil, and all their charms, and resting, relying upon the life and death and righteousness of the Son of God. An object of God's redeeming love. An object of His pleasure rather than His hatred, you see. God hates workers of iniquity, you see. There are things, you see, that God hates. It's not always wrong to hate. There are some things that we ought to hate with every fiber of our being. But friends, of course, is summarized in the word sin, you see. God hates sin, and we ought to hate it too. But our problem is that we love it. We love the sin. That's the problem, you see. God must prize us away from it, you see. God must show us, you see, through His holy gospel, He must show us how distasteful it is, how damaging, how destructible, and how eternally damning it is. Unless we turn from it, unless we renounce it, you see, and become objects of God's redeeming love. So you see, friends, in order to become the righteousness of God, you must needs believe in Jesus. You must needs trust in Jesus, that's all. Rely upon Jesus and what He has done, what He has accomplished in Jesus, who Himself, He never sinned, He never did anything wrong, He never broke God's law, not a single once. The only sin-free man that ever walked the face of this earth, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He never sinned. But on the cross, God made him sin. God took the sin of the world and heaped it upon his own Son. His beautiful, his lovely, his precious Son. He heaped all the sin, all the filth and the vomit of the world's sin. God heaped it upon his lovely Son and abandoned him to that cross, to that death, and to that damnation. Walked away from his Son while his Son cried after him, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the answer is because he was covered with your sin and mine. He was covered in the vomit of your sin. And he was doing that, friends, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. That by trusting in him, in his death, by trusting him to take away your sin before your sin takes you away somewhere you don't want to go. And believe me, it will, if you don't renounce it. If you don't trust in Jesus, your sin one day will take you away somewhere horrible, somewhere tormenting, somewhere fiery, where the fire's never quenched, the worm never dies. Friends, a never dying, burning conscience for all eternity. The guilt of your sin, the full burden of it. Oh, friends, made righteous, made righteousness. You can be righteous by trusting in Jesus. This very day, made sin for you, bore the world's sin, made peace by the blood of his cross for the sins of the world. But you must needs come to the place of renouncing your sin. You must come, not you must needs come voluntarily, willingly, and consciously and deliberately to that place of deliberately putting your trust, your reliance upon Jesus Christ. His life, his death, and his righteousness. That's the only way of escape, you see, in spite of your sin. Oh, let the righteous one, let Jesus, let him be your advocate, friends. For you need one, you know, because you're to appear in court very soon. And I don't mean the magistrate's court here in Stafford. I don't mean the crown court here in Stafford. You're about very, very soon, and some of you, sooner than you think, you're going to appear in God's court, in the court of heaven. And you're going to need an advocate. And I tell you, not some city slick lawyer that'll get you off on a technicality because you've got brass, because you've got money. No, friends, you will need an advocate in that day. And there's only one advocate who can form a defense for you, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Because unless in that courtroom he stands forth and says to God, the judge of all the earth, I paid his debt, I paid her debt, I paid, I took their guilt, I took their shame, I took their filth, I took their sin, I took it, I paid it all. Unless Jesus Christ is your advocate, unless he forms your defense, friends, you will not walk away a free man, a free woman. And listen to me, friends, in that day, you'll not stand in that courtroom. You'll not stand before the judge of all the earth. You'll not stand before God Almighty and say, oh, what a surprise. I didn't know that you were. I thought evolution was true. No, you won't be surprised at all. Because you'll be confronted with the God that you knew all along existed, just the same as I do, and just the same as every other man, woman, and child born into this world does, knows that God is. So you're going to need an advocate, and friends, you won't get that advocate with money. Your money won't do you any good in the day of judgment. It won't, friends. You'll need an advocate, Jesus Christ. And his advocacy, it comes freely to those who rely, trust in his life, death and righteousness. It comes freely to them. And I tell you, he never lost the case yet. He never lost the case yet. Everyone that he defends, I tell you, walks away a free man, a free woman, into the courts of heaven forever. But those, of course, those who refuse to rely upon him, those who reject his life, his death and his resurrection, his righteousness, those, well, he just turns and says, "Depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of wickedness. Out of my sight, I never knew you." Friends, that will be a dreadful, that will be an awful day for some. So let his atoning sacrifice, let his shed blood, friends, cleanse you today. Rely upon, trust in him to remove your sins and to remove the wrath of God. You see, his blood shed, you see, it washes and makes clean. It removes the guilt, it takes away the burden of sin, but also, friends, it deals with the wrath, the divine displeasure, the holy wrath of God that is set against you. Repent of your mockery, mister. Repent. Renounce your sin and trust and rely upon God's Son, Jesus Christ. Let his death, you see, in the place a substitute for sinners. Let it serve as an atoning sacrifice for you. Claim the blood, friend. Claim the blood, the righteous blood of the Son of God. Clear you before God. Bring you into an understanding, an experience of his redeeming love. Oh, friends, I tell you, there is no love like it. Listen to the word of God once again. The God of compassion and mercy, who has provided you with such as this, I tell you, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion and sin. What a God is this? Who would not believe in him? Who would not trust him? Who would not know his redeeming love? Oh, friends, far surpassing the love of any human, believe me. The atoning sacrifice of Jesus, not only for your sins, but, for the sins of all people across the entire world, because you see, it matters not where you come from, the east or the west, the north or the south, whatever your color, your creed, whatever religion you are brought up with, you see, it's not religion that you need, friends. The evolutionary kind, the Islamic kind, the Romish kind, or any other kind, it's Jesus that you need. His life, his death, and his righteousness. That's who and that's what you need. Reliance upon Jesus Christ alone, you see? Trusting in the Son of God, it's that and that alone that brings the righteousness of God to you, you see? Relieves you of your guilt, you see? It takes away, you see, restores you to God. Takes away your sin. God will take away nothing from you but what is harmful. And I tell you, what he gives, in his place, it far surpasses anything that you could possibly imagine. The joy of knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you have a home in heaven. The hope, not just for this world, but for the world to come. Hope, you see, in a very dangerous and a terror-stricken world. When you don't know when your last day will be. Hope not just for this world, but hope for the world to come. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, afforded to the benefits of God's redeeming love and grace in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But friends, listen up. But I do not excuse the guilty. God will never do that. God does not make excuses for your sins, and neither should you do either. Hold your hand up and acknowledge freely that you have sinned, because if you refuse to do so, like the lady I spoke to yesterday that I told you of, who said that she had never sinned, you call God a liar, you see? Because God says you have sinned and come short of His glory. We all have. There's none good, no, not even one. And we all need the righteousness of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Relying, trusting only, you see, in the life and death and the righteousness of Jesus. Can you be a free man, a free woman, and an object of God's redeeming love? So I encourage you this afternoon to look into these things for yourself and see that they are so. Again, I offer to you a copy of the New Testament in its entirety, offered to you freely and without any cost, any charge, or any obligation at all to you, freely for you to take. Do with as you will, but it's God's word, I tell you. You can read about it here. Maybe some surprises. The redeeming love of God, the compassion, the mercy, the grace, the kindness of God in providing you with such a salvation. Freely offered to you, yours for the taking. Jesus, He came, it was said, to His own, but His own did not receive Him. But to those who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave them the right, the authority, to become children of God, objects of the redeeming love of God. Come out from them and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me. The covenant redeeming love of God in Jesus Christ, the gospel, the everlasting gospel, the power of God for salvation. Read all about it, friends. Read all about it here in the New Testament. Read all about it. The good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. Yours for the taking. You would like one. Come and ask for one. Repent and believe the gospel. Renounce your sin. Turn to